is the fanfare. That means it's Thursday, of course, here on Main Street, and our great friend Matt Olean stops by the Main Street studio, joins us weekly to review movies. This week's movie is Nickel Boys. It's a 2024 historical drama, and it's a film about racism. Matt, welcome to Main Street.
Hi.
This film brings a poetic, almost dreamlike visual style, I guess, to the table here. How did you like it?
Well, this is the final Best Picture nominee that I had not seen. This will probably be the final review of any film that probably got an Oscar nomination in 2024. It didn't win any awards at the Oscars. Romel Ross is the director. It's based on a book by Colson Whitehead that came out in 2019, and it's basically about a young boy, Elwood, played by Ethan Hawke, who is very smart, and he's going to go to, you know, an advanced academy for school training, is his way out of poverty in 1960s Florida. But on the way to the campus, he hitches a ride with someone who's in a stolen car and fleeing the cops, and guess what happens? He's an accomplice, gets sent to the Nickel Academy, the infamous Nickel Academy in the book. So this is a reform school for boys. They are segregated. There's black boys at the school. There's white boys at the school. And needless to say, the white kids get treated better. So it's essentially a movie about how Elwood kind of endures things at Nickel Academy. And it's the interesting thing about the movie is the director, Romel Ross, decides to shoot it in kind of a POV way. That's point of view, Craig, for people that don't know what I'm talking about. So essentially, see the film mostly through what Elwood is seeing, okay? He's seeing the people at Nickel Academy. He's seeing the guy he gets the ride with. He's seeing his grandmother, played by Anjanue Ellis from King Richard fame. She played the mother of the Williams sisters in that movie, and she's very good in the part. And he meets a young kid named Turner, played by Brandon Wilson, who kind of befriends him there and tries to teach him the ways to get along there before he's released. But the POV view is really what people talk about with this movie. So it's almost an experimental movie, Craig. It feels like you're watching an experimental movie. There's a lot of interesting visual images that Ross uses. There's a lot of flash forwarding, flashbacks, images of race relations of the time. We see a clip of Sidney Poitier and Tony Curtis in The Defiant Ones, famous film, where they're handcuffed together on a chain gang, black and white man. Great movie. And so it's all seen through Elwood's eyes. And I'm sure you're going to ask, Craig, does this work for the audience? How does this work cinematically? I think it works in fits and starts. I was not as wild about this film as some of the critics have been. There's been some minority criticism of the film. A minority of critics is what I'm trying to say.
Sure.
Most critics like the movie. And I did like it for the most part. I like the visual style. I like the fact that Romel Ross chooses a different way to tell a story. This is a very risky thing to do, to shoot a film essentially from Elwood's eyes. Now, we do see him eventually, played by Ethan Hawke, the actor. We see him eventually in some flash forwards and some scenes later in the movie at the Nickel Academy. But I don't know if this works completely as a movie. I found myself unable to, even though the content is amazing, it's horrible. Some of the boys are mistreated at the academy, as you can imagine, Craig. And so you want to get to the bottom of this. Like, are people ever going to be held responsible for mistreating these boys at the academy? But because it's point of view, you know, Ethan Hawke isn't really ever allowed to give a completely 100% performance, I don't think, as Elwood. And maybe it's because we're used to seeing everything shot from a camera, from the director's point of view. But I found myself unable to engage completely emotionally in the movie, and it's a long one. It's 2 hours and 20 minutes long. I would say it's an ambitious experimental experiment, kind of like Hitchcock's Rope in 1948, where there were no edits in the film except one to when they changed reloaded the camera. Sometimes these experimental films work. I give Ross all the credit in the world for trying something different, but it's an unusual way to tell a story. I'm not sure that all audience members are going to engage in it the way they're supposed to. So I would say it's kind of an ambitious semi-success, semi-failure, I would say. Certainly it's a film to be seen. It's an interesting commentary on the times, of course, when things were changing with the Civil Rights Act and the marches and things like that, which was all things that had to happen in this country. But I'm not sure I would have shot this movie the same way he shoots it, except I will say, You know, we've seen this story before. We've seen movies like this before told from, you know, 60s civil rights like Mississippi Burning and movies like that. So it's a new way to tell the story. I'm just not quite sure if it worked. I think it worked 80% of the time. But that emotional impact I was kind of looking for was a little lost on me at times. By the way, it is available on HBO right now if people do want to catch it. It did not get much of a theatrical release, didn't make a ton of money either.
Matt, let's move ahead. We have a couple things to talk about before we get to the Oscar portion of our program, the Oscar trivia portion of our program. You just come back to life here with us here at Prairie Republic after the Fargo Film Festival. What's your take? What's your review? How did things go?
Well, of course, I'm involved in it, so I'm biased, but it was great. I mean, the crowds were amazing. I did a Q&A. I hosted a Q&A for a film on Carl Ben Eielson, a short film on Carl Ben Eielson, the famous pilot from Hatton, North Dakota, who died up in a frozen area of Russia in 1929. The theater was packed. I mean, it was a 10 a.m. showing, and by 9:40, people were streaming into the theater. So this festival has really grown over the years in terms of our crowds. It culminated with Molly Ringwald's appearance on stage on last Saturday night, so that was amazing. I think the big reason to go is to see all these amazing short films. I was on the documentary short jury this year, and no less than 3 documentary shorts that were in the Fargo Film Festival were on the Oscar Final 15 shortlist, including I Am Ready Warden, which got an Oscar nomination. So people love seeing these short films that you do not see in Cineplexes. You can't go see a 10-minute narrative short in the Cineplex. You can't see I Am Ready Warden. You can't see Hearts of Stone, amazing movie by my friend Tom Van Avermaet, who's been to the festival before. He's a great European director. Another great narrative feature called The Strange Dark was amazing, directed by Chris Messineo, who came to the festival, and we got to be friends. So it's great meeting these filmmakers, actors, and actresses, and it's great to see short films up on the big screen, which is, you know, the only way these short films get seen is through the film festival circuit.
Congratulations on a job well done to everyone on your team and on the team that hosts the Fargo Film Festival. Matt, you have a Brando film series coming up. It begins April 5th, be 2 p.m. for the next 4 Saturdays then at the Fargo Public Library. What do you have in store for everyone?
Yeah, so I do 3 of these a year for the Fargo Public Library. Lori West is my co-curator on these things. She works at the library. Yeah, we're going to run 4 Brando films that maybe not everyone has seen. So we're not going to run On the Waterfront, Streetcar Named Desire, The Godfather. We assume most people have seen those movies. Again, these are on Saturdays at the Downtown Library in Fargo. April 5th, we will have The Men, 1950. People think Brando's first film was A Streetcar Named Desire. It was not. It was The Men when he came off Broadway to do films, and it was directed by Fred Zinnemann, Oscar-winning director. He plays a World War II paraplegic war veteran struggling to move on with his life. It's a great performance. It's a short little film. Then on April 12th, we have Guys and Dolls, which was his only musical, and Laurie really wanted this movie in the festival. You can come and see Marlon Brando sing in quotes, alongside Frank Sinatra, his co-star in the movie. And then April 19th is Sayonara, which was kind of a big hit in 1957 about U.S. servicemen in Japan after World War II. And then finally, 2 Saturdays after that, on May 3rd, we do skip a week in there. We'll have Reflections in a Golden Eye, 1967, directed by John Huston, co-starring Liz Taylor. And I think that's his most underrated performance of his career. He plays a homosexual army officer on a base in the South, in the southern United States. And it's a really interesting film. It's a strange film based on a Carson McCullers book. And Brando is excellent in it.
Let's pop to the Oscar trivia part of our show. Mm-hmm. Matt, at the 39th Academy Awards, 1967, a film about racism won the award for Best Picture. What was it?
In the Heat of the Night.
Who won Best Actor?
Rod Steiger as the sheriff in In the Heat of the Night.
Well done, Matt. We've been to the movies with our great friend, Matt Olean.